talking a little bit more about the penalties handed down by the NCAA against Penn State. Not the death penalty, as some were expecting, but certainly harsh penalties for that program. Although some, and this is showing in our web poll, some say it's not nearly enough. The case, though, has also raised many questions, not just about people at the university who didn't say anything, but how people close to Mr. Sandusky could have not known what was going on, or if they did know, why they didn't say anything. Joining me on the line is Dr. Karen Ruskin, a psychotherapist. She specializes in marriage and family counseling based in Boston. Dr. Ruskin, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to chat with us today.
It's my pleasure, Jill. Thanks so much for having me.
I know you've been following the Sandusky story closely, and I don't want this to come across as simply blaming Dottie Sandusky, because obviously nobody knows what Dottie Sandusky knew other than Dottie Sandusky herself. But what are your thoughts when you look at somebody like this who was married 46 years? Jerry Sandusky and Dottie Sandusky were married. He is guilty, or he did some horrible things. The big question that a lot of people have is, how could she not have known?
Right. Agreed. We cannot go into her inner mind. We can only speculate based on our understanding of women in these types of situations. How could she not have known? Did she not know? And so here's the scenario. It's really hard for us as humans to think that a person, a spouse, could not know. And what I often see with women who come in and find out after the fact that their husband was hiding money, having an affair, or have murdered or molested someone, any scenario, and they verbalize they did not know, what you usually find out afterwards through the therapeutic journey is that there were things that happened that they realized at the time, but they compartmentalized it so as to not focus on it. They realized after the fact, but typically during the process, they do not want to know that this is the reality, because to confront that reality, that would then mean that the floodgates would open up and they would have to confront the reality that their marriage might be over, the fear and shame, the man that they thought was is not, perhaps even leading to depression or suicidal ideation. So they tuck away into their subconscious mind what the conscious mind knows, in order to not know.
It must vary, though, depending on what the spouse is doing. When you mention, you know, if your husband is hiding money, maybe your husband is hiding a gambling addiction. And I would think that's on a much different level than your husband has been molesting boys for years.
I agree with you completely. And it seems so insignificant to even any ridiculous almost to give an example of comparison of saying hiding money or having an affair. It's really rather to put a point out there that a spouse can be living a double life and be so charming and deceptive at manipulation to you, the spouse, that they can actually live this other life and you not know about it. That's one possibility, but the other is what I just mentioned before, that really you choose not to know. And it's very frightening for us as humans to think, is it possible that a spouse can choose not to know? Well, this is where it goes into that there's also the possibility that she knew, right? But her philosophical belief of what marriage is, unconditional love, protect your spouse and stand by him no matter what the cost, perhaps even rationalizing that what he's doing makes sense in some way, maybe even blaming the victims or compartmentalizing where the good part of the man that he is, the man that I know him to be, that's not the man, that other man, almost as though it's an illness, that other man. So those are also possible scenarios that has happened to a woman in this type of situation. And again, for us to think about, we think, well, still dreadful. How could she not try and help rescue these children as a woman, as a mother, as a human being? And that is all true, yet we're theorizing and analyzing and discussing how is it possible that somebody could not protect children if they did indeed know. And we're theorizing, of course, on some level that she did.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the reasons people put that forward as well, because in this case, too, we had the words of an adopted son. These were not the words of a student or somebody not connected to the family. This was an adopted son.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't surprised when I heard about that at all, and it's so painful. Oh, my goodness. You know, when you hear about this type of horrible, horrible, traumatic injury forever, when this happens, a child who becomes an adult is injured forever, and how could it be worse than that? Whether it's someone who you've adopted, whether it's somebody who is outside of your family, and yet there are women that stand by their spouse, that know this is going on at some level, but don't want to know. Remember, if you allow yourself to truly look at the reality of this type of trauma, then you have to self-reflect upon yourself. What is this life that I have? Who is this man? What type of shame must I feel? To allow yourself to confront that, that's a good thing. That's human. We should. But not everybody has that kind of emotional strength. So this is a very interesting case where you think, really, is this woman the woman we thought she was? Who is she really?
And Dr. Ruskin, we'll hold right there. We need to take a short break, but I want to continue talking to you about this. Dr. Karen Ruskin, she's a psychotherapist. She specializes in marriage and family counseling. Well, we'll talk more about this case when we come back. Continuing now with Dr. Karen Ruskin, a psychotherapist. She specializes in marriage and family counseling. And Dr. Ruskin, just before the break, we were talking about the Jerry Sandusky case, because a lot of people questioning how Sandusky's wife of 46 years couldn't have known, or if she didn't say anything. You talked about the compartmentalizing of a life, especially maybe if a spouse is seeing signs, doesn't want to acknowledge these signs. Does that not make it worse, though, at the point when the spouse who is doing this gets caught, especially in this case, it is such a huge story. Does it not make it worse then? Because in addition to dealing with what her husband has done, she now also has to deal with whether or not she knew and ignored it, or how she responded to it.
Oh, yes, indeed. I mean, that's so analytical, Jill. You're right. It makes it so much worse for this person now, because not only do you have to confront the reality of what wasn't, but you have to confront the reality of the role that you played in what really was, what you were not allowing yourself to confront, the choices that you made. So you have to confront your own character. And imagine confronting this as a character, that this is the choice that you made to cover this up. This type of scenario could lead a person into such a deep, dark hole. You could potentially have suicidal ideations, feel depressed, anxious. To confront is absolutely going to lead her, if she allows herself to be honest with what she did know, again, if we're assuming she did know, right, that compartmentalized it, she is not going to be okay emotionally, and she's going to need some serious mental wellness help. Now, bear in mind, when a person has been through some type of grief, let's say there's been a death, they go through these stages of the grief process. There is this possibility that when she recognized for the first time truly what it was that her husband did, she might have had a grief reaction. And the first stage of grief reactive response is denial, disbelief. A person can remain in the first stage of a grieving process, denial, and never get through the process of anger and depression and eventually acceptance that this is what this person did in order for you to move forward and away from them, recognizing what they truly did. She may have never went through the phases, stuck in denial, and still stuck right there.
And I think also why people have questions, too, is because she paid her husband's bail. She declared his innocence. She said she never saw anything suspicious or strange during the years. And this was the years when the abuse was taking place. That's led to a lot of people saying she should be facing legal ramifications as well. She should be facing charges. She should be doing jail time. I mean, is there any validity to that?
Right. Well, that's a really interesting point. And the question really is did she really believe? I mean, this is a true mental wellness question. She does it would be great if she can be spoken to by a mental health professional who evaluates these types of cases, because the fact is, if she truly, even now, doesn't believe the reality of what is, wouldn't one think that there's something seriously wrong there? Right?
Yes.
If rather she's continuing to say that he's innocent, but she knows he's not, what does that say? So it says two completely different things, and perhaps two different outcomes should be had depending on what she's really thinking. But again, we cannot know unless there's an exploration process going on. You know, it could be, right, that she is the, let's call it for a moment, typical, and this is an odd way to word it, but let's look at this for a moment. She could be the typical reactive response of a person who remains silent about abuse. A person who remains silent, whether it's a child, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a parent, and she was a spouse and a parent, they typically remain silent because of fear. Fear of bringing shame or embarrassment, fear of what could happen to their livelihood, fear of the unknown, fear, fear, fear. So is it possible that fear has shut her brain down to such a point where it has truly, imagine a door being closed and locked to reality and to confronting reality out of fear, and her thought processes, her healthy, rational thought processes, are stuck behind that closed door, and that really that's what needs to be explored, perhaps.
It is an amazing part of the story, incredibly interesting, and I know a lot of people do have many, many questions. And Dr. Ruskin, you've certainly helped answer some of them. We're out of time, but I thank you so much for being on the program.
My pleasure. Anytime, Jill. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Karen Ruskin, a psychotherapist. She specializes in marriage and family counseling. On the line from Boston, she's also been following the Sandusky story very closely.